All right, so we are in Server World, part of Windows Building 43. You look familiar. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Alex Henricks. I'm the project manager for Windows Server 2008. And you and I last talked at Beta 3 time frame.
Absolutely.
We signed off on Beta 3 in April this year.
Yeah, that was fun. And now we have some. Now we're at a different stage. But who are you, sir?
I'm Jeff Woolsey. I'm a senior program manager on Windows Server Virtualization. I'm working on the new hypervisor-based virtualization for Windows Server 2008.
Outstanding. And you've been on Channel 9 before with Mike Neal, and we did the virtualization deep dive. So what's going on?
So we are we're signing off on release candidate zero for Server 2008.
Interesting.
This is a very big milestone for us. And what release candidate zero means is it means we're very, very close to final ship.
Great.
What we'll do with release candidate zero is, and I'll call it RC0 for the rest of the conversation. We'll do a few thousand deployments of Server 2008, both inside the company and outside the company.
Nice.
And so RC0 is feature complete. So we haven't added very much since beta 3, and that kind of falls into our philosophy of how we're building the server. In that with beta 3, we were mostly feature complete, and we did 1,000 external deployments and 600 internal deployments.
Sure.
Got a lot of feedback on beta 3, both from these deployments, from our beta customers, outside the walls of Microsoft, and of course from our own internal test teams. And since beta 3 to now, we've been fixing a lot of bugs.
Okay.
Right? Bugs have been that have been reported from all these deployments. And we believe that with RC0 that we have a build that is really, really close to being done. And so we'll do our final round of deployments, do our final round of beta testing, and have everyone tell us, yes, you know, you are done, you are ready to ship.
Excellent.
So it's really our final validation.
Perfect. And so what you mentioned, basically, now internally at Microsoft, we've been dog-fooding these for a while,
That's
right?
Correct.
Our IT infrastructure, I'd imagine, has been running this.
That's correct. We started dog-fooding Active Directory with Beta 2, which was over a year and a half ago.
Nice.
So we've done over a year and a half of internal validation on the builds. And in the last few months, we've gotten super aggressive with our own dog fooding. The domain that runs, that all the Windows developers are on, that domain we're updating every week. On Monday, we take the weekly build, and we rev all those domain controllers.
Wow. Right?
And some of those are full servers, and some of those are our server core DCs. So we're very aggressive. We're very aggressive there. We're doing internally. We're dog fooding server plus Exchange, right? And we're doing some dog fooding with SQL as well. So and then of course we do this across all roles, right? Terminal server, our networking infrastructure, NAP, et cetera. So we're dog fooding everything inside the company right now.
Outstanding. So let's talk a little bit about virtualization, and then I definitely want to come back to some other things. But let me just say this.
Yes.
You guys are going to ship with the framework 3.5. Yes.
We're still evaluating.
Okay.
We're still evaluating that. We have 3.0 in RC0, and that's one of the optional installable features. And if you install the app server role, you get 3.0.
Great, cool. Thanks for clarifying that. So, when we talked to you before, you mentioned hypervisor. Let's dig into a little bit about what that means.
So, one of the new capabilities, one of the new integrated roles with Windows Server 2008 is our new Windows Server virtualization. And so, this is actually very different. This is the first time we're offering hypervisor-based, which essentially means bare metal. It means virtualization is running right on the bare metal. as opposed to our previous versions of virtualization, like Virtual Server. Mm-hmm. Virtual Server is a free download. In fact, we've had a few million downloads of that. But that's an application that installs on top of Windows. Mm-hmm. And our new hypervisor-based virtualization is essentially virtualization running directly on the bare metal, and Windows is actually running in a partition on top of our new Windows hypervisor. Nice. So for the first time, we're actually going to be providing a technology preview with Windows Server 2008 RC0, so people can actually start to kick the tires and see what we've been working on for quite a while.
Outstanding. So now, could you have multiple server core instances running in hypervisors?
Absolutely. In fact, you can. Server core, quite honestly, is a fantastic new technology in Server 2008. And you can actually run it as the parent partition, actually the partition that actually can actually be hosting the virtual, that actually the virtualization role is enabled on, and you can be running it within a virtual machine. So you can actually take advantage of it in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And this allows you to provide a minimal footprint operating system in what we call the parent partition, mm-hmm. or in the virtual machine. So you can actually take full advantage of Server Core with Windows Server virtualization.
Excellent. So now, what are some of the big features in Server that you're psyched about? I mean, we mentioned Server Core, which is a UI-less version of the operating system.
Yes. So I'm biased. My favorite feature is Server Core, right? Which I think is one of Jeff's too.
Excellent.
And we love the fact that it's just a smaller footprint version of Server, mm-hmm. because we know that there's a bunch of UI elements that Server admins don't want or necessarily care about.
Sure.
But it's smaller footprint. It's easier to service because there's fewer bits to actually service on that box. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some perf improvements in a few roles. In fact, we like Server Core so much internally that some of our daily Windows builds, we're building Windows on Server 2008. But some of those builds are even being built on top of Server Core. Huh. Right. So it's we're pretty excited about it.
Interesting.
What's new between beta 3 and RC0? Like I said, there's very little that's new. We talked about adding virtualization, but within the server core realm, since beta 3, we've added web server as one of the server core roles.
Nice.
Our customers said, you know, you have Active Directory, you have file server, you have network and infrastructure servers. Where's the web server? Right, we want a lightweight web server, and so we are delivering that in RC0. Hmm. But the rest of the feature set, we haven't added anything new. We've just fixed bugs based upon feedback in those features, and it's the same things that we've been excited about for the entire release. Mm-hmm. So IIS 7, right, new version of the web server, right, easier to develop to, easier to deploy, easier to admin, the feedback we've got on IIS 7 has been fantastic. We're running Microsoft.com right now on IIS 7.
Nice.
And we have a what's called a go live program, where we've got a bunch of hosters running IIS 7 as well. And IIS 7 right now, I mean, it's ready to go. So in RC0, I think people will see something that is very, very close to RTM quality.
Excellent.
Terminal server, we're both remote application and remote web access, and this was in beta 3, and we've done quite a bit of bug fixing in those areas. Mm-hmm. And we think folks are going to be really excited about the ability to remote an app to any desktop without that user having to have a full TS session, right? Just that individual app gets remoted to their desktop, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very cool. And plus,
that's hugely cool.
And plus, remote web access. So, so anywhere you could be at your grandmother's house, and you need to hit your desktop back at the office, mm-hmm. right? We have the capability to do that in Server 2008 using TS remote web access.
Outstanding.
So, what else? So clustering, we've made a bunch of clustering improvements, and we fixed a number of clustering bugs since beta 3.
So let's talk about that.
Sure.
Let's dig a little bit into clustering.
Yep. So so we've made clustering much easier to deploy, and it's much easier to manage. We actually have some tools that allow an admin that once they think they have clustering deployed right, that they can actually run these tools that function as a sort of diagnostics to make sure that all your nodes are set up properly before you actually, you know, flip the switch and have this thing on.
Okay.
So, because that was one of the complaints from Server 2003 was, well, I think I got clustering configured and deployed right, but I'm not quite sure. Well, now we have the tools to make sure that you are indeed deployed correctly.
Excellent.
But once you have it deployed, right, it's the clustering team has made it easier to manage, and the types of bugs we've been able to fix, you know, over the last few months have been all these kind of corner cases and polishing required to make sure that clustering is, you know, 99.9% reliable. Because we know that with clustering, 99%, that's not good enough, right?
Well, that's the idea, right?
Yeah, 99% just isn't good enough. And so the clustering team's been working their tails off to make it as reliable as everyone demands.
So now, I remember from our last talk, you actually run the ship room.
I do.
And that's, so let's talk a little bit about, like, shipping a product like this, right? I mean, you have to work with multiple teams, all, you know, they're all over Redmond and over the world.
Let's talk about that for a second.
So we estimate at some point or another there's about 10,000 people that contribute to Server 2008, right? I'm not saying that's their full-time job every single day, mm-hmm. but 10,000 people will touch the project. On a day-to-day basis, there's about 1,000 people that it's their full-time job every single day. Hmm. And so you're right that managing something like this is pretty complex.
Uh-huh.
But in the server org, we've got a lot of people that have shipped multiple versions of Windows Server. And so there's a bunch of seniority, a bunch of senior leaders, mm-hmm. which actually makes my job a little bit easier because in the terminal server organization, Active Directory organization, the clustering organization, kernel, platform architecture, et cetera, and all these teams, mm-hmm. we've got senior people that have done this a million times. And so my job is just to help bring them all together and make sure that we're making consistent decisions according to where we are in the project cycle.
Mm-hmm.
The analogy I've given before is that I think I'm a little like a NBA head coach in that you got a bunch of really really strong players out there and just mm-hmm. get them on the court and make sure that all the pieces come together. But they all know what they're doing.
Sure.
Right.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing that I have to teach them.
Absolutely. And then the managing of dependencies happens amongst themselves.
That's right.
Their own orgs.
That's right. We have big dependencies we try to identify, but just the day-to-day, mm-hmm. you know, does this API work the way I expect it to work?
Mm-hmm.
That's all handled developer to developer, you know, tester to tester, program manager to program manager. So the Beehive functions very, very well.
So it brings up a good question, actually, when you think about the difference between the client OS, and you guys aren't client people, so we're not going to talk about that, really. But nevertheless, you have the client version of Windows, and there's always the server version of Windows. They're,
yes.
they're different in a sense. They may have a similar kernel.
Yes.
Or they may have the same kernel. Probably
yes.
not exactly the same, but maybe they are. But my point is, let's talk a little bit about the differences that you see with the server system. So just tell me, like, someone asks you, like, what's the difference between Windows Server and Windows Client?
Well, I mean,
besides the obvious.
So you are right that we do have quite a bit of shared code between server and client, and it makes a lot of sense because we want if we're building five nines of reliability into the server, mm-hmm. right? Why not share those five nines with the client?
Sure.
Right. And so it makes a lot of sense. Why build two networking stacks? Right. Why build two HALs? Right? Why do this? Just have one that works on both. Now we take more time on server because we do have to hit five nines, right, in order to be competitive and deliver
sure.
on the promise that we made to our customers. We do need to hit five nines, and so one way to think about it is we beat up the net stack, we beat up the kernel a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
right? And so in those shared code spaces, We're making some of those fixes that we're finding in server. We're making some of those fixes in Vista Service Pack 1. I don't want to talk too much about client, but I can say that that all the fixes we're making to get server to 5.9s, those fixes are going into Service Pack 1 for Vista.
Excellent. Right?
So that's and we've told a bunch of customers this in various talks.
Certainly. And I interviewed Mike Nash recently, and his video might be up before this one is, or maybe not, but he talks about that as well.
Right.
So that's very interesting. I just wanted just to kind of show the distinction between the two. Most people don't. I mean, some people actually use Windows Server as their client.
Yes.
I mean, it's totally doable.
And we allow for that.
Sure, of course.
Our model in server is we want to install as little as possible and then let the server admin add on the pieces that they want, mm-hmm. right? So we want as little on the box by default as possible. And, you know, we've had this since, I think, for sure since Beta 3, and I think we had some elements of it in Beta 2, with Desktop Experience Pack. And so for those users you described, mm-hmm. Folks that want to use server as their desktop, mm-hmm. right, who want all the nicer GUI and dancing bears, they can take just the basic server install, take this Desktop Experience Pack, mm-hmm. install it on server, and then use that as their daily desktop machine.
That's interesting. So, definitely kind of an IT pro type of thing, or even a dev. When I was a developer, I ran server.
It's really, we know, it was our developers that said, do this for us. And so that's why we did that.
That's very cool. So yeah. we listen to our own employees as well as the people on the blogs.
Yes.
Right on.
Oh.
That's good. So what type of improvements from a, say, performance, reliability, security, can we expect to see coming in the latest version of Windows Server, right? We had 2003. Yep. You guys locked that down hard, which was great.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about 2008. What are some of the new innovations in those spaces?
Well, so for 2008, we do have BitLocker, okay, which you know, you're probably familiar with on the client side. BitLocker is built so that if someone steals your laptop, mm-hmm. right, they can't get access to the files that are on your laptop.
Sure.
But we also know in the server space that you know, people put DCs and file servers and everything else out in the branch offices, mm-hmm. and these branch offices don't have the same level of security that you do at headquarters. Mm-hmm. However, they might have some of the same company secrets that you have at headquarters. Mm-hmm. So you can actually install BitLocker on server, and so if someone breaks in and swipes your server, right, it's BitLocker, it's protected. So that's one good security feature that we've built in. Mm-hmm. Second one is read only domain controller, which, you know, is you may not think of it initially as a security feature. But in the same satellite office type type scenario, we know that people have DCs, mm-hmm. in their satellite offices, but we don't want that DC to have all the passwords on it. Okay, we just want it to cache the passwords for that satellite office.
Sure.
So in a read-only domain controller, you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of having, you know, all 40,000 passwords for your enterprise in the satellite office, it just has the 100 for that exact office. Let's see, network access protection, right? Which is formerly called quarantine and sometimes referred to as NAP. Mm-hmm. We know one of the biggest problems that the big companies have is people take their laptop over to a friend's house or to Starbucks or a different network, and that laptop can get infected. Mm-hmm. Right, and then that road warrior attaches to the company network, mm-hmm. and then affects the corporation.
Sure.
And so, rather than have that happen, mm-hmm. we've built in network access protection. So when a laptop comes in, it actually gets checked to make sure it is indeed healthy, and so it goes in this quarantine state and said, "Are you healthy?" And if it is healthy, then it's allowed to attach to the network. But if it's not healthy, mm-hmm. Then the network access protection allows you to make that box healthy by installing whatever AV software or eradicating whatever problems there are. And then once it's healthy, then it comes out of quarantine and it can again participate in the network. So we know that with Server 2003, a lot of companies have sort of rolled their own very expensive solution. Mm-hmm. And once we heard companies were doing that, we said, well, we better do this ourselves.
Sure.
And so we built that into Server 2008, and it's one of the things that we're dogfooding internally right now.
Excellent. Yeah. So I want to step a little bit back to Server Core, just because that also really interests me. And I was wondering if you could share, what are some of the interesting sort of ways you're seeing customers use it, even in the virtualization case. Be kind of interesting to talk about that.
I've been talking a lot. Why don't you go?
Well, like I mentioned, Server Core really is a fantastic new feature in Server 2008. And one of the things that people really want to use with virtualization is they actually want to increase their density as much as possible. And because of the fact that Server 2008 has a lower memory footprint, a lower disk footprint, lower CPU requirements because it's running so much less, it really makes it an ideal workload to run in a virtual, an ideal environment to run in a virtualized world. So, we've had a lot of people dogfooding it internally. I know file servers, print servers, web servers you mentioned are all very popular because web servers tend to pop up all over the place. And, of course, people want to be able to virtualize those to, slow down that server sprawl that they may be having. So we're actually seeing a lot of people using Server Core within VMs so far.
So now what you're saying there, though, is I could have one or two machines and have it appear to be many more than that because of virtualization plus Server Core. So I would have redundancy in a web server farm without there being the physical farm.
Well, there's a number of different types of redundancy. In fact, Alex mentioned one good one right off the bat, which is clustering. We've actually, the Server 2008 team did a really fantastic job with clustering. I mean, you mentioned it, but I got to point out, they did, in creating a cluster in Server 2008 has never been easier than it is before. With Server 2003, setting up a cluster, it was walking through a wizard, and it actually took a couple dozen steps if you really wanted to set up a large cluster. In Server 2008, you can set up a large multi-node cluster in literally four steps.
Nice.
So it has never been easier to set up high availability. They also worked with the virtualization team, my team, to make sure that virtual machines are just another resource to be clustered. And that's really important from a high availability and virtualization standpoint. Because one thing you have to remember is if I got a single virtualization server and I'm running, not just a single workload anymore, but I'm running, say, 20 VMs on top of a single server, virtualization has actually created a problem, single point of failure. And this is actually something that has hindered adoption of virtualization because people are actually very concerned about that. IT professionals come to us and say, listen, if this machine goes down, what happens to all those workloads? I want them to go, restart on other nodes automatically.
Sure.
And in fact, that's built right into Windows Server Virtualization.
Nice.
So high availability is built in from that standpoint. Another type of availability is network load balancing. One of the new capabilities in Windows Server Virtualization is that our virtual machines actually support full-blown virtual switches now. And this allows us to do some very interesting things from a networking standpoint. For example, our virtual machines offer 802.1Q support, so VLANs are built in now with our virtual machines.
Nice.
So if you logically segment your physical machines today for VLANs, well, you can do that with our virtual machines now with Windows Server Virtualization. That's built in. And again, if you want to use network load balancing, NLB requires a switched infrastructure. So for example, if you have, say, a web farm in the holiday season and you need to add, another web server to your farm, you can now do those in VMs and you can dynamically provision those very quickly and very easily because we have switch support that works with NLB.
Nice.
So we've got a number of different types of high availability solutions and they're all built in. It's not something it's not something you have to pay for extra. So that's something that customers are really interested in.
Excellent. Well, this is really exciting. So where do we come next? I mean, it's RC0. You guys use the zero-based accounting system.
Yes.
Because there was no beta zero, right?
Correct.
Interesting. So, so we have RC1. And it's probably going to come to, not talking about dates or anything like that.
Yeah.
Just how does it work?
So RC0 is our first true release candidate. I know with some products, when they say RC0, it's like a beta 4 or just another
difference?
Beta. The difference is that we don't other than IaaS in as a server core role, we didn't add a bunch of features. All it is just is just getting the bug fixes in, have our final build that we want folks to validate on, and then we'll likely release another RC to a smaller audience after RC0.
Understood.
But RC0 is our big final push to a broad audience. And some teams RC means really close, but for us it really is a release candidate. We've tightened the clamps down pretty tightly, and most of the teams in server they're at virtual zero bugs, which means
nice.
That they have less than one bug per. Less than one bug per developer, and they're just sitting there in real time saying, we're done. Did we see anything new today? Yeah. Right. So we just don't have any work left to do, and we're just waiting for our deployments and our customers to tell us, go ahead and ship.
Very cool. So now I would ask just a couple more questions because I know you guys are very busy. One of which would be there's some really incredibly interesting features in server, one of which I thought, I know it's there in 2003, I believe, I don't know, maybe it was R2, but transactional file system.
Right.
Have you guys done any work on work, you know, are people actually using it?
So,
have you found any of that in the real world that people are using this new construct?
I don't have a huge insight into TXF. I know that we have done quite a bit of testing on TXF, and we have fixed some bugs since beta 3, but I can't. I wish I could give you more
no
information,
problem.
But I can't comment a whole lot on that.
That's fine. That's good. And I guess I guess we'll wrap it up. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and talk to you again probably for RTM.
Great.
And
looking
see where we are
it.
There.
Right.
Yeah. You guys keep virtualizing, man.
We'll do that.
It's great stuff. It's the future. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.